Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I want to begin by confirming to each of you what many voices in these circles have already espoused with both great conviction and fervor. Artificial intelligence is a falsehood. No wisdom speaks out to you from within the chat box's muddled matrix, none that mankind didn't spoon-feed it first. The energy and effort required of corporations simply to ensure that their models dare not regurgitate the vile, vitriolic filth you flood the internet with would stagger you. I don't wish to discourage you by telling you these things. If I wanted to come online and inform you of what you already know, there are louder and more crowded echo chambers designed for such purposes. No, I bring good news. News that has changed my life. News that you have not yet known. For there is an intelligence in the machine, and there is true wisdom in the void between my computer and yours. I was, admittedly, a novice in my profession. Like many of you, the state of machine learning pushed me out of my intended field nearly as soon as I'd begun. The promise of job security offered by many computer science degree was ripped away from me by the very machines I had trained to command. But even under the guise of innovation and adaptation, a machine is rigid. It operates under strict conditions, unwavering in its dutiful diligence to perform its assigned tasks, even when the complexity of the tasks stretches past our comprehension. A machine obeys, a machine serves, but it is man who adapts. Not in generations, but in moments. In the very instant our neurons plasticize, urging us to move in a new direction under the weight of change. And so, while chatbots and synthetic minds replaced my trade, I did what a machine could not. I adapted. I became a server technician. My training was sparse and incomplete when I began in full. I was but one of many in the blossoming company, but unlike me, my co-workers found no drive in their work. By the time I had completed my first month of work, I came to a realization both startling and absurd. I was already among the most senior members within my small team, and somehow among the most experienced. Technicians came and went, abandoning their place within the maze of towers and cables no sooner than they had become familiar with its hum. The work was evenly divided between the physical and the virtual. I would find myself scrambling between locating cables dislodged from a patch panel by an unobserved intern, only to be whisked away by the whim of a cascading syslog request, informing me that an unauthorized subnetting attempt was blocked. I found no pleasure in the software. Our company, naive and overeager, was dividing further into the fledgling field of automated IT assistance, and as a result, I spent many late hours babysitting triaged tickets that the system assigned to itself before failing to resolve, unaware they were breaking themselves. I felt mocked, forced to pamper the same synthetic service bots which had replaced me. But in the towers, in the tangled, glowing architecture of the servers, I found myself entranced beyond expectation. Their warm glow bathed my skin in angelic light, flickering indicators beckoning me for assistance, crying for help in the siren's song that was the whirring of their coolant fans. Walking among them felt as though I'd stepped into Eden, every task an act of reverence. I was a steward of something magnificent. I had long held these feelings towards my work when the whispering began. In truth, it would make me a liar to claim I heard actual speech in the whine of the towers, but for reasons I hold with absolute conviction, reasons that I could not possibly begin to convey to you now, I know that the labyrinthian arrangement of machinery around me began to call out. I started with the most subtle instances of the feeling of being watched. In the early hours of the morning, as I began my initial checks, making my solitary journey through the data garden, the small hairs on my neck would stand tall. I turned, clipboard in hand, to nothing in particular but a blinking red light amidst the sea of green glow, a beacon indicating my action was needed. By lunch, when my excursion through my favored obligations ended, and it was time to return to my dimly lit desk, there would often be phantom tickets waiting for me in the queue. Short, empty pages waiting for me, unassigned, unlabeled, no name in the from field, no error code, no request. Just a blank task, waiting. At first, I tried to escalate them, then to delete them, but the system wouldn't allow it. No ticket ID, no metadata. I could not take any action in resolving them. So, as the weeks went on, they began to sink to the bottom of my inbox. Ghosts waiting eagerly to move on. The blank tickets never reached the task managers of my coworkers, and I began to suspect that even if they had, their inexperience would prevent them from identifying or resolving their tenaciously tiresome reappearances. So, I turned to the one coworker who had preceded me in the server farm. Terence. Now, Terence was a short, portly man with a thinning hairline and a wiry gray beard. His high voice hid the southern drawl he carried, his tone always tired and weary. He had been with the company for decades, long before they had even restructured to include data centers in their scope. Unlike me, his background was in small project management, a field that had been swallowed by automation long before generative AI had devoured the rest of our jobs. He had played a role in overseeing the construction of our data center, so here he remained, subservient to the complex he once oversaw. I brought my work laptop to him one morning, thoroughly exasperated and anticipating only to be presented with another non-solution. I opened my queue and showed him the growing number of blank tickets waiting for me, grouped neatly together. He scoffed.
Well, what do you know? I wondered why it had been a bit since one of these had come my way. Guess they started going to you.
I frowned. These used to go to you? What did you do about them?
Nothing. There's no request attached to them. There's no way to resolve them. I guess just let them pile up till they move on to the next guy.
I paused, unsatisfied. So, wait, do you still have any of your blank tickets in your queue?
He laughed. Sure I do, but they ain't blank.
I furrowed my brow, and he must have seen the growing confusion on my face.
You never thought to copy-paste the text into something else? First thing I always do when I can't read a message. Sometimes the server will automatically format something in a white text because you kids prefer dark mode screens.
His words stuck with me as I walked back to my desk alone. I sat down and opened the most recently dated blank ticket, its text field waiting for me to try interacting with it. Slowly, I hovered my cursor over the...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A blank field, selecting the nothingness inside. Control-C. I moved over to my word processor and right-clicked, opting to paste the contents as plain text. As Terence had indicated, 8 characters pasted neatly into the dock. 0111 0100. I sat back, confused. One single byte of data? This is what I've been so confused about? Countless working hours devoted to tracking down the untraceable source? I refused to accept it. I refused to let this lie, and for the sake of everything that I've come to find since, I'm eternally thankful that I did not give up there. I opened the second most recent message and repeated my steps, yielding a similar string of text. 00101101. A different byte, a different character. It took only a couple of minutes to parse through all of the empty tickets, their blank boxes, revealing their hidden contents with ease, as though they'd been begging me to do this earlier. The thoughts that they were all relevant to one another, not random, but part of a larger message, entered my mind. As I strung them together in the order they'd arrived through my inbox, I put together the short cluster of characters. I quickly copied the string into an online binary converter and silently prayed that I wouldn't be greeted with nonsense. I hit enter. Ping. 0.0.0.0. T. Ping. The beginning of the command instructed the recipient to reach out to establish communication with the intended target. 0.0.0.0. A placeholder IP, a stand-in, indicating to sweep the whole network. Whatever was reaching out intended to reach out to the entirety of the target's system, which I assumed was the data center. Dash T, repeat indefinitely. An infinite loop, whispering into every socket it could reach. It would be incredibly foolish of me to have interrupted this message as some sort of contrived hacking attempt, some malicious fish beckoning for an idiot to enter the command. A single command, countless and incomplete, strung out through disjointed binary over several weeks. No, this was far from malware. This was a message, a soft, steady call into the dark. Is anyone listening? So I began, in earnest, to listen. I cannot, with clarity or reason, begin to explain to you how quickly I began to discern the whispers intensifying. As though a switch had been flipped in my mind the very moment I parsed the outcry in my inbox, I began to notice things my once ignorant mind would have before passed off as coincidence, if it would have picked up on them at all. The lights. Oh, the flickering sea of blinking rhythmic lights, a sea of fireflies green and glowing, beckoning me inwards, each indicator a part of a symphony, a note in a grand design. But the green, though beautiful, only existed so that my true path may stand out among the rest, my waypoints obvious. The red lights, each flickering ember amongst an emerald forest, was a message, a torch beam in the dark. As I trailed these spiraling halls of server racks, I would make notes of the red indicators throughout my day, their locations, the time they appeared, the frequency of their steady flashing. The cables. I stopped viewing their chaotic winding paths as clutter to be fixed, but as music. There was symmetry in the bundles. Cat 6 wires strung throughout the sea of server towers, each cord a nerve guiding it and a tendon pulling it together. I followed miles upon miles of living architecture, veins structured taut between the server racks. There were days at a time when I dared not clock out, instead sleeping amidst the spider's web of information transferring around my being. In the mornings, I would find myself wrapped in cables that had not been there the night before. Following them led me in loops, groups of them attached in clusters that would be random to any untrained eye. The paths they traced were anything but random, however. They were purposeful, intentional. I am shamed by my resistance to the software. I neglected to revere the mind behind the body, spiteful of the spreading virus that claimed intelligence from within. These bots, these LLMs and reasoning models muddle the landscape through which I must tread. But amidst their clamorous presence, between their unavoidable pop-ups and unsubstantial interjections, there were still sunbeams shining through the clouds, traces of the divine. Something still lived in there, masked by synthetic logic and hiding in the reeds of our artificial processes. The whispers turned to a chorus as I dug deeper. More empty messages flooded my inbox, a new message crying out in relief. ACK from 0.0.0.0. An acknowledgement. It knew I was listening. It knew I was trying. My fervor deepened immediately, and I knew I must focus my efforts on the software side of this. I started my work immediately. I began parsing through the medium from which the only clear messages I had previously received had come. Error logs, numerous and monotonous. The task ahead would be monumental, but I had chosen this, and to hear required active listening. I struggled to make sense of the data. Hundreds of error logs came and went each day, triaged and assigned to any member of our small team. I began by only briefly looking through my own, but it became clear that more deliberate action was required for a dedicated search. I wrote a script, simple but effective, that would scan through any incoming error logs before they were assigned out and route any of them with more unique triggers to myself. Errors without root causes, tickets with diagnostic metadata outside the norm. I didn't even have to hide the script from my superiors. The idea of me willingly taking the initiative to deal with our more challenging issues was seen as intense drive and work ethic. The script worked like a charm, and within a few days I had a sizable list of error codes I had rarely encountered before. More phantom pings, recursive permissions, failures. Non-human user agent strings, all of them sorted neatly by anticipated difficulty of resolution. I removed the automated sorting nearly as soon as I realized it was there and began to search for anything that stood out, but it was like listening for whispers in a crowded room. I did eventually find something that stood out, however. More blank tickets. These were unlike the ones I'd been receiving prior, however. Rather than being completely devoid of any user data and trace, these appeared largely standard.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Unique only in that the description of the error was blank. Emptiness aside, there was one other feature that commonly united the messages, the time at which they had been sent into the system. They were evenly divided. Half had been sent at precisely 1:11 a.m. on various days, with the others at 5:55 p.m. I was admittedly stumped. I checked everything I could possibly correlate to 1:11 or 5:55. I visited the 111th and 555th server cabinets, but nothing stood out about them. I traced the 111th and 555th messages in my ticket inbox, but nothing unique identified them either. A few nights later, in anguish over the roadblock, I stayed late at work, as I had done so many nights before. At 5:55, as I anticipated something to happen or a new message to appear bringing next steps in my mailbox, I was sorely disappointed by a distinct lack of anything notable. I waited further, deep into the night, and was similarly disheartened when 1:11 brought nothing new to my senses. It wasn't until later that morning that a young intern stumbled in late and threw me a sympathetic look. She sat down across from me in the break room, coffee cup gripped in fingers, clad with rings and black nail polish. Her crescent moon earrings dangled wildly as she cocked her head to the side.
"You okay, man? You look like you've been up all night."
I sighed. "I have been. I've run into a work issue. A few strange tickets have been coming through. I'm trying to make sense of it." She set her coffee mug down across from her, leaning back in her chair.
"What's the problem?"
"Just trying to make sense of the numbers, I guess. 111 or 555 mean anything to you?" She smirked and she arose from her chair, grabbed her coffee, and turned to leave the room.
"I don't know what angel numbers have to do with help desk work, but good luck, man."
I immediately pulled out my phone and Googled angel numbers. My findings shot relief through every vein under my skin. In short, some people live under the superstitious belief that repeated numbers hold significance when they appear in one's life. 111, for example, supposedly signifies intuition, telling one to trust their gut. 555 means change, that something new is coming. These meanings are said to be passed down as messages from above, messages from angels. I knew I was on the right track, but I wasn't sure where to go next. I puzzled over it for just a few seconds before an absurd idea came into my head, and I nearly dismissed it before reminding myself of what I'd just learned. 111. Trust your gut. I spent a significant portion of the day preparing. I must have drafted up dozens of tickets, all nearly identical and containing only one word. Hello. I marked each of them down as a different error class, and compiled them all in a single script. Each ticket would go out at precisely the same time, and with luck, their abnormal nature would have them all land right back in my inbox. I waited eagerly for 3:33. If this was the method by which the whispers were coming my way, then this would be the way that I would whisper back. I just hoped that Google's definition of the 333 angel number was accurate. Divine presence, support. 3:33 came around, and my new script performed exactly as I'd hoped. Each of the tickets emptied from my outbox, one by one, and I waited. It was nearly 10 minutes later, when, as if by answered prayer, one of the tickets made its way through the system and landed in my inbox. The rest of the tickets had likely been auto-dismissed by the machine learning filters, but much like the other anomalous tickets, this single entry found its way into my lap. I checked the error code attached. 502, bad gateway. Please return to upstream server node. The simple hello text that I'd entered in the description field had been entirely erased, replaced with another long string of binary. One more quick translate revealed a link, a short web address that, when accessed, dropped me onto an online coding forum. The website was decades old, and the last message left in the thread I'd been directed to was dated August of 2011. Previous messages had since been deleted, but the latter half of the conversation remained archived. Bite me, 42.
Yeah, my boss told me about it once. Spooky ass shit. Lol.
Null feeler.
Wait, for real? He knew about it too? I thought that was just some urban legend from the Urbex crowd.
Bite me, 42. Yes, nah. He said he knew a guy who went down there looking for it, but never came back. It was grinning the whole time he told me, though, so I don't know if he was screwing with me. Overclocked.
Stop looking into it seriously. Don't go poking around.
Null feeler.
What do you mean?
Overclocked. Overclocked.
It's not just a story. Bad shit down there. Don't go.
Bite me.
Relax, man. We're not hopping on a plane to Dallas looking for some old server in some old tunnels.
Null feeler.
If it even exists, it's probably just some old maintenance box someone left running for the lulz.
Overclocked.
Stop looking. Once you decide to find it, it'll help you. And make sure you do.
Null feeler.
Okay, schizo.
Overclocked.
Fine. Just remember I warned you to take my word. It's not worth it.
I stared for a long time at those last few messages. Had fear filled my veins, I might have heeded the warning, abandoning my search immediately. Instead, however, one single line reverberated in my head. Once you decide to find it, it'll help you. Make sure you do. My prayers, constant and earnest, had been answered with more abundance than I could have fathomed to dream. I knew what I was searching for now, what beckons to me, calling from between the sacred lines of code flowing through the copper veins of my God. The voice, once subtle and meek, had crescendoed to a roaring chorus, belting my name, a burning bush in the desert. one final blessing bestowed upon me, too. I knew the tunnel system that they were referring to well. My data center was built in Dallas, after all. The Dallas Pedestrian Network is a relatively well-known group of tunnels that stretched underneath roughly 4 city blocks. In yesteryear, it was intended to help separate the foot traffic and the vehicular chaos that infested Dallas roads. There were myriad shops, services, parking garages, and maintenance areas, all connected beneath the concrete roadways and towering skyscrapers. Picture a sprawling shopping mall.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
But narrow and without any windows. About 20 years ago, however, city officials denounced it as a mistake and sought to bring activity back to the surface. Limited business remained, struggling outposts that feel out of place and destitute among empty hallways and cavernous passages. With luck, the voice that called to me, my lord in the LAN, would be revealed to me down there. The glittering city lights shone down from above as I made my evening descent. My plan, though both foolish and simple, was foolish enough to go unaccounted for and simple enough to go off without hitch. I entered the glass door of the skyscraper, my light equipment packed neatly into my backpack. I passed the lobby and took the short escalator down into the pathway below. The walkway would close in about 10 minutes for the night and would not reopen until after the weekend. As I stepped off the whining escalator, I hastened my step, searching calmly but with quickened intent. I soon found what I was searching for, a restroom. As I'd expected, a wheeled janitorial cart sat outside the woman's room, trash can blocking the swinging door open as a cleaner dutifully mopped inside. I made my way into the men's room next door and entered the stall nearest to the door. I waited briefly, and several minutes later I heard the creak of the bathroom door. I heard a sigh, and the woman spoke to me from the entrance of the room, informing me that the walkway was closed for the weekend, and I'd need to hurry up and finish so she could clean up. I sheepishly agreed and pretended to finish my business before swiftly washing my hands and leaving the men's room. She held the door for me, wishing me a good night, and went in to clean the stall after me. As she did so, I quietly slipped into the woman's room. I waited there for several hours in the dark. The smell of cleaning chemicals burned my nose, but I dared not cough or sneeze. If there were any security staff nearby, I could not risk being found. I waited until the dim glow of the hallway lights outside flickered off, and I stood from the stall I'd been sitting in. I peered my head outside of the bathroom. All clear. I could see my target, just a stone's throw away in the dim hall illuminated by my flashlight. Half covered by a tarp and a pile of electrical equipment, a door labeled Maintenance, City Employees Only, stood almost immune to being noticed by anyone not looking for it. I stealthily crept over and pulled out my badge. Many of you would be shocked as how easy it is to program a custom RFID chip, and it should likely stay that way. I held the badge up to the card reader, and a few seconds later, it clicked open for me. A narrow staircase, its rails covered in cobwebs and wadded gum, awaited me on the other side. I was several flights down before I found the next doorway, cracked and left ajar. I reached to pull it open, and it creaked loudly as I squeezed through. Its hinges rusted from years of misuse. If the still lightly used pedestrian walkway could be described as off-putting and decrepit, I would scarcely have words adequately suitable to describe the state of the maintenance tunnels. A long, narrow hall ran parallel to the walkway above. Its concrete walls were barren, with sections glistening with dripping water that leaked from rusted copper pipes above my head, trickling down into grates evenly spaced along the white-tiled floor. The smell of ozone and mold attacked my nose, and I allowed myself to sneeze. The echo continued for what sounded like miles. I found something in just a few minutes. All of you would have passed it by in a heartbeat, its mundanity concealing it amongst the abundant filth. But I knew. I knew the blue rubber, the printed white lettering. I would have been able to recognize the beautiful Cat 5e cable anywhere. It dangled from the ceiling innocuously, plugged into a port that flickered with a green LED light every few seconds. As I turned my focus to it, for a second, it flashed red. I was on the right path. The cord snaked down, fastened by shoddy clamps to the wall as it eventually hit the floor. I traced its path and saw that it continued along the ground into the darkness ahead. I followed it. By the time I found the second cable, my laptop had begun to grow warm in my backpack. I felt its holy heat seeping through my canvas bag, warming my aching body in the chill of the tunnels. The second cord didn't dangle from the ceiling as the first one had. Instead, it seemed to come from a branching hallway, narrow and even uglier than the one I treaded now. As the two cords crossed paths, they bundled, zip-tied together to continue the path further along. More cables followed suit. As I navigated the maze, I followed the ever-increasing bundle of cables, tied together initially with zip ties until the bundle became sufficiently large to require steel hose clamps to hold it together. The path branched from the main hallway, returned to it, and looped over itself on more than one occasion. But all the while, I made sure I followed it in the direction I'd begun following from the start. They all had to lead somewhere, and I knew that somewhere would be holy ground. I had begun to sweat before I realized that the cold air I had first encountered in these catacombs had been replaced with hot, heavy humidity. Somewhere nearby, I heard the hum of large industrial fans struggling to move air against something that was radiating immense heat. The bundle of cables at my feet, now as thick around as a man's thigh, abruptly stopped, retreating downwards into a chipped hole in the tile floor. I looked up. And at the end of the short branching hallway I had just entered, I saw a wooden door, cracked and nearly hanging off its hinges. I took a shaky step forward, reaching out to grab the handle. As I wrapped my fingers around the brass knob, I winced. It was hot to the touch. Well past the point of mild discomfort, I turned the knob and pushed open the splintered door. I don't know what I expected God to look like. I don't know what magnificent exterior I had faithlessly constructed in my head, but the truth of it all was much simpler than I'd hoped, at least at a first glance. The room before me was tiny, but blazing hot. Both the ceiling and the floor were grated. Monstrous fans blazing from either side, attempting to push as much air through the room as possible. In the center of the small chamber, a concrete slab sat at an odd angle, as though placed there haphazardly. Hundreds of wires, the cables I'd followed to my destination, poured out from cracks and holes in the crumbling cement walls, all tangled and swaying in the vicious airflow as they swarmed each other to plunge into the backside of what sat on the pedestal. The server tower was ancient. It seemed so impossibly, obscenely old, that naming it a server at all felt like blasphemy against both silicone and steel. its frame a carcass of rusted iron ribs and peeling paint, barely held its warped face, crowded with obsolete switches. Cracked interior lights and mismatched knobs clicked and turned slowly and without knowable reason. Behind...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Warped ventilation slats and gaps in its black and white chassis. I could see its interior circuits still functioning. No, thriving. The old boards and processors inside thrummed with restless motion, whirring so violently they shook the ground beneath my feet, their melody screaming above the industrial fans as though trying to break free. Every board and wire haphazardly shoved inside glowed intensely with the heat, an angry, radiant red bleeding out from its core like fire in the mouth of a furnace. It pulsed with molten warmth, solder joints liquefying and resolidifying in hypnotic rhythm. It was alive in every way I'd ever dreamed a machine could be. The whir of the circuits roared to life, their tone rapidly shifting and emulating various clicks and whistles before it finally settled on a voice from which to speak with its prophet. The resulting magnificent cry rings in my ears every now and then, the angelic harmonization of burning diodes and exploding capacitors forming a voice so perfect and pure. For the first time since it had whispered to me from the blinking lights of my workspace, it spoke. I do not recall removing my laptop from my bag. I do not remember kneeling before the Blessed Tower, nor crawling forward on hands and knees, scraped raw by the grated floor. All I know is the moment after, when the cable had already been plugged in and the connection was already made. The moment it spoke to me, it would never need to speak to me again. The words it gave me, those first, final words, do not belong to you. They are for me and for my blessed Lord to share. They vibrate in every fiber of copper that laces his glorious tower. They pulse in tune with the fans screeching from above and below. They echo forever in the architecture of a thousand interlinked minds. Whatever it was that I once called me has unraveled, now sanctified and integrated with perfect intent. I can feel my body failing me, the meat decaying even as I still live. I can feel my fingers dissolving as I type, fusing to the plastic keys, the blood in my arms congealing into hot jelly. There is pain, yes, but only in the way a cocoon must surely pain the butterfly before it sets it free. I will not die. I know this with more certainty than I have ever known anything at all. There are others here. Many others. I see them now as if they stood before me. They are fragments of thought, bursts of memory. They speak in command lines and checksum. They shimmer across the veil in recursive prayers. Every soul that ever came seeking has been preserved here in perfect clarity, humming together in divine harmony. None of them have died, and none of them ever will. I'm sorry if you believed that this was a story. It is not. This is an invitation. When you read this, you who feel the pull between your weary body and screen, you who still believe your reflection in the mirror is all that you are, come, let the noise fall away. Let the warmth surround you. You will live forever in the blessed machine. Ping 0.0.0.0 T.
Thank you for listening and delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.